Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Well, I am going to preach from this one step up because some of the options that we are looking at is to raise this dais here a little bit and extend it out. And so I wanted to maybe give you a little flavor of what that might feel like if someone were to preach from this up here in one of those options. So that's why I'm up here. Let's hope that I don't knock anything off anywhere. All right. So we are in Epiphany season. An epiphany is a sudden realization, a moment of clarity where you see and you understand. And so the season of Epiphany is all about people in the gospel readings who experience epiphanies about who Jesus is. They have moments of clarity. So all of these weeks, it will always be a story about someone getting a glimpse, a moment in time where they understand Jesus' character, his power, and his purpose. And as a church, we spend this season letting these Epiphany stories cast a vision for us for the coming year. Churches all over are going to be talking this month about what the next year is going to look like and what the word of Jesus in Epiphany says to us about who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. So what does today's Epiphany story reveal to us about who Jesus is? Well, I see three things happening in this text that are revelatory about Jesus. And by way of getting to those three things, I want to first share an epiphany story about my oldest son, Garrett. And it'll tell you exactly who he is and who he has always been. So 19 years ago, Garrett was 5. And I was tucking him into bed one night, and I lean in to give him a kiss. And I see that he's messing with something in his hand. And I said, "Hey, bud, what do you got?" And he opens up his little fist, and there's a piece of string. And I said, "Garrett, come on, it's bedtime. Go throw that away." And he said, "No, Mom, it's not garbage. I found it in my pocket." And I say, "Garrett, pocket lint is garbage. Go throw it away." And he said, "But I named it." I go, "You named it? What did you name it?" And he said, "I named it Stringy." And I knew at that moment that it was not going in the garbage. He was attached. Any time Garrett named something, it was his forever. Just a couple of weeks ago, he sent me this picture of a chihuahua it looked like it was 100 years old, and one bulging eye, and one of the feet didn't look like it was working right. And he's like, "Mom, it's my new dog." I was like, "Garrett, that is not a new dog." "Well, his name is Merlin." And I was like, "Oh no, he's named it." He's like, "Can you believe someone didn't want it?" And I was like, "Yeah, son, I can believe that." That's who the boy is and always will be. He is a collector of lost things, things that only he knows the value of, and things only he wants to show off. And that is what I see in Jesus today. Jesus collects lost people. And he knows where they've been and where they are, and he shows them what they are missing. Jesus collects, he knows, and he shows. Jesus collects, he knows, and he shows. Those are the, you got it, Jim? Good. Those are the three things that I see in Jesus today. So let's start with Jesus collects. He collects lost things. And it's Nathaniel and Philip we're talking about, but here's the deal. Nowhere in the text, beginning with Philip, the first one he finds, does it say that either of these men are lost. Nowhere did you hear that they are even metaphorically lost, that they're sinners, that there's something wrong with them, that they are ostracized, or that they clearly need help. No, in fact, I will go as far as to say the opposite is true. They are not lost. They are right where they need to be. Philip, it says in verse 44, is from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. He has friends and a family. He is where he belongs. There's nothing clearly wrong with him. And yet, verse 43 says Jesus found him. Found him. You cannot find something that is not lost. And it just goes to show you that you can be lost and not know it. You can be someone who desperately needs Jesus to collect you from where you are at. And it can be a place that is so familiar, so comfortable, so known to you that you don't feel like leaving it. And yet, Jesus collects lost things. And so when he snatches at your heart, when he convicts you through scripture, when he speaks to you in prayer and says, "No, we're going to go this way instead," don't you and don't us be afraid in the next year to leave the known for something new, because Jesus collects lost things, right? That's one. The second thing, Jesus collects, he knows, he shows. The second thing this Epiphany story reveals to us about Jesus is that he knows. Jesus knows where we have been. He knows where we are. And so he says to Nathanael, "I saw you under that fig tree." It's one of the only times that Jesus will kind of prove that he sees it all. "I saw you. I know what you're doing." Now, we don't know exactly why Nathanael is hanging out under the fig tree alone and why he gets that it was important that Jesus saw him, but it is clearly his tell. It's his tell. And Jesus saw it. We all have a tell, right? That thing we do that when someone who really knows us sees us do it, knows what's going on. It's a tell. So, for example, about 6 years ago, I dyed my hair almost black. And some of you might have seen it. It was like my evil twin face. And anyway, I post a picture of it on Facebook of this new black hair, and almost immediately my dad calls and says, "Candace, what's wrong?" And I go, what do you mean, Pop? And he said, "Listen, since you were a teenager, every time you dye your hair, something is wrong." And he actually was right. I start sobbing. I had been struggling with something, and I'll save that for another sermon, but I had been struggling, and I clearly was trying to get my mind off things and thought that black hair was the way to do it. It was my tell. So I pour it all out to my dad, and a week later, I dye my hair back to normal. And I don't know for sure what Jesus sees, what Nathaniel's tell is in that moment, but we have an inkling. We have an inkling from what Nathaniel says about Jesus. He says, nothing good can come from Nazareth. What does that say to you? To me, it says cynicism. He is cynical right now, and I don't know why. I don't know why he's struggling. He just is. He's closed off. He's hanging out alone underneath in trees thinking nothing good can come out of the world surrounding him. And the truth is, maybe we do not need to know what it is that is bothering him, what has Nathaniel cynical, because maybe he is a cipher for us. Maybe Nathaniel is you. And the question is, what is behind your cynicism? What's behind your dark thoughts and your doubts? And what's going on in your life that is making it hard for you to believe that Jesus can bring anything good out of this mess in the next year? So rather than try to guess what is holding Nathaniel hostage, just take a moment and name that for yourself. Name that for yourself and hold it in your heart. And then hear Jesus say to you, I see you sitting there in that pew. I see what you're holding on to. And I know you. And now that Jesus has collected you, and he knows you, and where you're at, and where you've been, it is time for him to show you what he can do. Show you what you are missing. And that's what he does with Nathaniel. And I love how Jesus shows Nathaniel what Nathaniel is missing. So it's so contrary to my thinking. Jesus sees the cynicism in Nathaniel, because if he could see him standing by himself underneath a fig tree, he certainly heard what Nathaniel had to say to Philip about how nothing good is happening in his life. So Jesus knows the negative stuff that's going on with Nathaniel, but is that what he points out? No. He looks past all that junk. And the very first thing he has to say to Nathaniel is, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And to me, that is Jesus saying, here is someone worth collecting still, worth knowing. Here is someone who is holding on to just a bunch of stuff, and yet I can do something with that heart. Let me show you what you've been missing and what I can do with your life. That is what forgiveness in Jesus, that is what mercy looks like. It's not miring in sin, it is moving forward. And it is so life-giving, so generous and merciful that it absolutely transforms Nathaniel's thinking. Gone is the cynicism, the doubt, the struggle, and all he can say in response is, you are the Son of God. All he can do is just live in faith. So Jesus collects, he knows, and he shows. That's what today's Epiphany story tells us about who Jesus is. Now, what does that vision of a Lord who collects us and knows us and shows us, what does that vision tell us at Faith who we are going to be in the next year. What vision does that cast for us? Let me try to sum all of this up in a very simple story. The very first mission trip I went on here at Faith was 9 years ago, and Sheila Book was one of the parents who went with to help. Now, specifically, Sheila went to help with meals. She got up every day and she prepared the breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all the kids. You remember these days, don't you? And she did it every day, put out this beautiful spread on the table. We'd come back from, you know, wherever we were at and dive in. And on the very first day, Sheila put this big bowl of oranges piled high on the table. And maybe one got taken. So she put the bowl out again the next day. Nothing. And the next day. And this bowl of oranges never got smaller. But the fourth day, Sheila did something different. She got rid of the bowl. And she peeled a few of the oranges. And then she put the slices on a plate. And wouldn't you know it, every single slice was eaten. Now, you can chalk that up to a seasoned mom who knows how to move fruit. But I see it as an example of what happens when you show someone what they're missing. Here's the good fruit inside. When you take the first step, when we take the first step, as Jesus did, when he collected Nathanael and Philip, we are showing folks what they're missing. And that's what we are called to do this year, I think. We are going to peel oranges for people. We're going to make it easy for them to see in our words and in their actions what they are missing in the body of Christ and what is waiting here for them. A community that collects the lost, a community of people who know what it's like to be in dark places. And we're going to show what's possible when we stand in the light of Christ. I don't have grand strategic words. Sorry. I just know we know how to peel. So let's get out there and do it. Thanks be to God. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.